This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 6:05 in the evening, and as promised, we're going to be talking about all things ICERD. Now, we've been talking about the ratifications of these UN conventions, or the upcoming ratifications of these conventions, for a little while, including one perspective most recently from Ahmad Fuad Rahmat of Knight School about whether this would mean an end to casual racism. Today, however, we're taking a more institutional look.
So it was announced that Bersatu Youth Wing Armada will reject Malaysia's ratification of the International Convention on the Elimination of All Forms of Racial Discrimination, that's the ICERD, if it weakens or erodes the rights under Article 153 of the Federal Constitution, the constitutional monarchy, position of Islam, or any other rights enshrined in it.
Armada Chief Syed Sadiq Syed Abdul Rahman said the wing's stand was based on the consensus reached by Pakatan Harapan components to champion the people's and country's progress through existing policies and according to the provisions in the Constitution, saying we reject any attempt by outsiders to pressure or threaten us to review any law in Malaysia or the provisions in the Constitution if Malaysia ratifies the ICERD.
He also says that Armada urges the government to reconsider ratifying the ICERD if it leads to Malaysia's laws to be on the same level as international laws, because this could lead to socio-economic imbalance and erosion of certain rights.
So last week, Prime Minister Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad has said that consultations with all races will be carried out before any decision on ICERD is made. He also admitted that it's not an easy matter, since Malaysia is, of course, as we know, a multiracial country with each community having its own sensitivities.
And Mujahid Yusof Rawa, Minister in the Prime Minister's Department, has said the government will look into the matter in detail and is in no rush. He also voiced his concerns over the enthusiasm of certain parties who tried to portray the ICERD issue incorrectly, including the notion that the rights of the Malays will be erased.
So lawyer activist Siti Kasim, as you would expect, did not mince any words at all in her response to Syed Sadiq. In a Facebook post, the lawyer activist said that Parliament has no use for such idiots and accused him of adopting such a stance to gain political mileage from what he thinks his Malay constituents are. But she argued that the Muar MP forgot that non-Malays also voted for him.
So in response to that criticism, Syed Sadiq came out to defend his stance today. He said that his stand reflects Pakatan Harapan's commitment to defend the constitution. He told Free Malaysia Today that this has been agreed by all, so is it wrong for me to defend the constitution as I stressed in my statement? He added that it is his duty to defend the constitution to protect the interests of all races and religions as prescribed in the Constitution.
Can I just say upfront that this, to me, sounds like fear-mongering?
A little bit, because it, I understand where he has to come from as a young Malay politician representing a group that's supposed to champion the rights of the Malay community. I completely understand that, but to go at this issue from this angle is a bit, you know.
Yeah, and I think it's what bothers me, I suppose, is that it's the elimination of racial discrimination. That is, by most measures, a good thing. I don't understand how this is suddenly being demonized. I also don't understand how the UN is suddenly being portrayed as a malignant superpower from the West, you know, when in fact, I think the UN's powers, such as they are, have been eroded over many, many years.
And they've been toothless for a long time. And, you know, I was just reading up a little bit on the ICERD. And I think the ICERD actually doesn't come from Western powers, but by African nations who at the time were facing problems of discrimination and apartheid in their own countries, which, you know, Malaysia was a big player in helping South Africa break itself from the apartheid era.
Yes. So to me, on balance, it just sounds like there are a lot of people who have a lot of fears, and I understand those fears.
Yeah,
and
there has to be anxieties for sure.
Yes. And those anxieties are completely understandable. But I do think it's worth understanding exactly what the ICERD means, and also that ratifying it doesn't mean you ratify every single convention within it. It doesn't mean that you have to take it on wholesale. And I certainly don't think that it represents intervention in our laws.
And I guess what's also surprising to me is the messages coming from the government doesn't seem quite aligned on this issue. I am okay if ministers disagree with each other. That's fine. But for something like this, I think a more constant message is important. You know, Mujahid Rawa himself has said that, you know, ICERT isn't going to cause any conflict with Article 153, and that if any parties have any concerns about this, please come to my office and see me. He also explained at a press conference, I think last Monday or 2 Mondays ago, that, you know, any laws that we, any ratification or conventions that we do take on, any law that changes will have to go through Parliament. And that seems like the fact that's not getting through, right? That the moment we ratify these conventions, all our laws will have to change. But that's not true. It still has to go through Parliament. It still has to go through the Council of Rulers. So maybe Syed Saddiq should visit Mujahid's office.
Yes, I'm also curious as to why the self-styled defender of the Constitution is not being, why there aren't more supporting statements coming out from other members of the government to say, yes, we did talk about it. Yes.
And he says that Pakatan Harapan has apparently reached a consensus, but no one else has really come out.
Yes. Okay, so let's try and get an expert's perspective on this. On the line with us is Gerald Joseph, a commissioner with Suhakam. Gerald, thanks for speaking to us today. What do you think are the anxieties that are attached to the ratification of the ICERT?
Well, I suppose the misperception is that people, some groups, they feel they will lose their rights. It will be an unfair situation. What we see in our constitution, like the special measures for the Malays and natives of Sabah, Sarawak, will be challenged and lost. And some even fear that the position of Islam as the religion of the state will be eroded. So I think these are some of the anxieties that people think are going to be linked to the ratification of signing the ICERT, which I think are unfounded because many of these anxieties, first of all, people must read the convention to understand that the language is a language to build equality and inclusiveness that I think Malaysia is very proud to say, the country that has space for everyone under the Malaysian sun. To have these anxieties, I think it is born out of either a little bit of ignorance or lack of understanding, or a few who then try to propagate a certain kind of messaging that certain groups in Malaysia will lose out if we sign on to this convention.
And PAS has said as much, that signing on to this convention would be disastrous and would erode the rights of the Bumiputra, especially those in East Malaysia. Is that true?
I think that's a fallacy, because what's the basis for saying that? If something you want to equalize rights, then it's to add on rights, it's not to take away rights. So if their notion is that communities in Sabah and Sarawak are left out, that means this convention will actually just ask questions to the country. We are off the mark, so let's get people back to that median line of equality. So it will be a test for Malaysia when we do our review to check on whether we are getting the communities that have been left out. So if PAS contends that the Bumiputras, meaning the Malays and the natives of Sabah, Sarawak, as per the constitution says, will be left out, this is totally false, because I believe we will be put to the test if we leave out any community, more so the Malays and the natives of Sabah and Sarawak, and also the Orang Asli. You know. So signing on means we take on even a bigger burden to ensure that nobody is left out from this equation. And I think the fear of the Malays losing the privileges of the special measures is unfounded, because the Constitution guarantees it, and the convention, the Racial Discrimination Convention, actually has provisions that allows groups that are left out to have special measures or positive discrimination in order for them to get the rights and privileges that they have lost over time because of many circumstances. And PAS's fears are really, I sometimes worry that it should not, no political party should use this as a party or political campaign to try to challenge something as good and noble as this. You know. So I think it should be a multi-party coming together to say Malaysia finally will be proud and courageous enough to ratify this ICERT.
Gerald, does Malaysia stand to lose anything from signing on to ICERT?
Actually, I don't think so. I think it's long overdue, only because we have actually already complied with these principles and we ratified the other UN conventions. namely the Women's Convention CEDAW, the Child Rights Convention CRC, Convention Against Elimination of Disability. All these conventions actually have provisions of non-discrimination, which I think is a cornerstone principle for human rights, and also it's in our constitution. So when we fear that we are going to lose, I don't think so, because we've already put our name to this, and we've always fought to equalize Malaysia. That has been the struggle of our history. People have always come out when we felt we've been kept aside, either when in the British time, pre-British time, people were always fighting for equality. So I really cannot see any angle where a country as good as Malaysia will stand to lose from signing on to ICER.
And let's look at it from another way. What do we have to gain from signing the ICER?
So I think we got a lot to gain. One of it, the first is, of course, Malaysia's reputation as a respected member of the international community will be enhanced, because we'll be joining, you know, the community of 179 nations of 193 nations. We're only part of a 12 member states who have not ratified, you know, and it's not a proud number to be in. And we're also not yet part of the 52 OIC members that have already ratified the convention. So reputation will definitely go up, and finally we can proudly stand up and say, hey, if Malaysia is truly the multicultural Malaysia we always showcase ourselves to be, then signing on to this will really be the most natural step. And of course, we'll also add on integrity, that our call for a united Malaysia would mean that we will also be ready to take on the minimum standards of the treaty that actually tries to showcase what it means to have a Malaysia, a world that is more equal and that respects each other. So I think there's more to gain, and I really can't see anything that we will lose, neither for majority or minority communities in Malaysia.
So last week, Suhakam released a statement that said that affirmative action programs will have to be more transparent. Could you elaborate on what that would mean?
You see, I think we are reaffirming that affirmative action is part of the provisions of ICER ratification. But in order for us to know who has benefited, who has not benefited, then programming of such support needs to be, like all government policy, accountable and transparent. So there's nothing wrong with saying that I give 100 million for this project, but we need to know how is it done, how is it implemented, how many people are benefiting, and what's the transformation of the people using this money and this program. So I think for far too long, everybody says that there is support, and one group says they've improved, and another group says, no, this is not true. You still need lots more support for the booming food trust of the country. So I think that begs the question then of the need for greater transparency in terms of the application and utilization of funds and programs for affirmative action, like the special provision, like the Bhutra policy in Malaysia.
Right. Gerald, how would you address some of those worries that some personal rights would be eroded? You know, what message do you think the government should send?
Well, I think the first message to give is that the call of equality is the call from all communities, faith, cultural, religious community. You can never find articulation of superiority or discrimination on any religion. So I think we need to celebrate that there is intrinsic good values that that we should all bring up. And that sort of sits in resonance with the values and human rights articulation in the ICER declaration. So we are actually just matching what we already believe in. And there is no way we can allow any group to say that if we move on to equality, that's bad for us. It cannot be bad for any group when there's equality, because we still gain to win. No one loses in the game of equality. People lose out when someone is put aside or suppressed or left behind. You know? So I want to recall that Malaysia was actually a very proud and important partner of South Africa in the 60s in the fight against racism in the apartheid regime of South Africa. And I think what we did then was remarkable, and we must show that same commitment today for our own country by being daring enough to say that if we're already signing on to what we believe. It's nothing more. It's nothing shocking. It's not going to change the fabric of how our society functions, where we respect Islam, we respect natives, the Bhumiputra, It's sort of the social fabric that we've made to understand. But I think the only thing we need to be prepared is now that there'll be much more honesty in our evaluation of how the nation has gone forward in terms of equality, race relation, interreligious dialogue, because this will be the moment where we will have more indicators to show that the real growth, the real changes, that will then demand questions on which communities still need help, which groups has already standing independently on their own. So I think we cannot allow policies to continue that may perpetuate systematic or institutional racism. Policies are brought in as a temporary measure in order to equalize society so that we can look forward to a Malaysia that exactly can stand proud among its peers as a Malaysia that believes in equality.
Gerald, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us. That was Gerald Joseph, a commissioner at Suhakam. And based on that, I mean, we would like to hear from you. Do you think that these statements that have been made by Syed Saddiq are,
fear-mongering,
politicking, do you think that, or are you worried that you do have personal rights that are going to be infringed upon? What are your concerns about ratifying ICERD? Talk to us, let us know. You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. KF says, don't you think the hoo-ha on ICERD is just to avoid other issues like the country's economy? No one is now talking about the economic slowdown. I hope that isn't the case, because that is just that would be incredibly cynical, and that would also be a fallback to our old tricks, right?
Then again, to be fair, the government does have a lot of other areas that they need to focus on.
Yes.
Yeah, so I'm sure they can balance out doing a few things at the same time. Hopefully they can.
One would hope. Penangite on WhatsApp says, Lincoln rightly said years ago that all men are created equal. This is the very principle enshrined in our federal constitution. Also, technically, ratification alone changes nothing. What is there to worry?
And, you know, just based on what Gerald said earlier about the fact that no one loses in the game of equal rights, and, you know, that signing on to this convention might even push us to make sure that no group gets left behind, right?
That's the thing. And the reason why I used fear-mongering earlier, which I recognize as a strong phrase, is because just the ratification alone of it doesn't change all that much. We have choice. And to imply that we don't have that choice is spreading fear. I think so anyway.
And it really does feel like to me that Saddiq is coming from a place of emotions rather than a place of logic. You know, he should be doing his job to try and explain to people what the ICERD is and, you know, maybe talk to cabinet members about why he feels that way.
Another listener volunteers, why did Malaysia sign the treaty if they were not going to ratify ICERD? Which is a good point. Keep your thoughts coming. 7733-2900 is the number to call. You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. Let us know, do you view these statements as just kind of mere political statements, mere political shadow play, or do you think that there's something to it? Are there genuine sort of concerns that that rights are going to be infringed upon? Let us know.
What are your worries about signing on to the ICERD?
That's right. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.